Gordon Thorne of Findlay, Minnesota is excited to be hosting the 4th annual Fingerstyle Masters concert and workshops at Bluefin Bay in Tofte tomorrow. And the workshops are going to be starting at about 9:30. There's going to be a concert happening at 7:30, and the featured players are Eric Lugosch of Chicago, Illinois, and also Phil Haywood out of the Minneapolis area, I do believe. And welcome to both of you. How are you guys today?
Good, thank you. We're great, thanks.
Good. And thanks for coming up to the North Shore and being a part of the Fingerstyle Masters concert. And of course, this is the 4th annual one. And Phil, you mentioned that you were here for the first annual, or the first show.
Yeah, the first one was a great success. And glad to see Gordon is keeping it going.
Right. And maybe just give us a quick overview of Fingerstyle and what that
quick
means.
Quick overview of Fingerstyle.
Or a long overview.
Well, they're... among guitarists, some don't even like the word, the term. But it's people who, I guess fingerstyle is playing more or less like a classical player, where you're employing all the fingers of your right hand, or most of them anyway.
On a steel string
and,
instrument.
We're using steel string guitars, and the tradition comes more out of folk and blues. And it's a big bag these days, actually.
All right.
I think it's also like... I won't call it an insular community, but it's, you know, a lot of solo artists. It's kind of geared towards solo artists.
Yeah.
And folk music, but it's taken over a jazz entity as well. You know, a lot of people play jazz as well.
Mm-hmm.
As, you know, as well as rock and folk. And it kind of like blended it together.
Right. But I understand this is the first time you're going to be playing together at a show.
Yeah, and even that is pretty limited. We're going to do mostly solo things.
Okay.
That's what our primary thing is for each of us.
I got you.
I occasionally team up with another guy, and Eric probably has a little more experience than I do in ensemble kinds of
things. Yeah, I've played with a variety of different people. I used to have a group where I played with a steel drum player named Lana Wardell and John Williams on accordion, and recently I've done some collaborations with Elaine Moore, a singer. Phil heard some of that.
Nice.
A long time ago, I did stuff with a flute player, variety of different mm-hmm. things. Yeah, and then Phil and I, you know, worked painstakingly hard for about 3 minutes to prepare our collaboration.
Well, that's great, and maybe we're just going to start out with that. Maybe the two of you. Play a tune for us here and give people an idea of the style of guitars. They could come to a workshop tomorrow, and we'll talk about that a little later, and also to the concert tomorrow at 7:30.
Yeah,
that's a good idea. And this is, I think this song in particular is, you know, Pete Seeger wrote it, just passed away this year, and he was such a great musician, and everybody associates Pete Seeger with, you know, union songs and banjo songs and children's songs, and he comes along, he writes this song that Phil and I are going to play together, and it's become a staple for fingerstyle guitarists. I mean, I mm-hmm. think, don't you think, Phil? I mean, it's like
it
everybody kind of learned.
There are a few tunes that are kind of like, you know, it's a very small genre of that qualify as fingerstyle classics, but I'd say this is.
You know what I'm going to do, though, is because I'm just going to throw this on you, Phil, is because I play this in... I'm going to do it also. I'm going to add Pete Seeger's thing that he does to it.
You mean you're going to whistle?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
I'll see what happens. Yeah, isn't that great that he did that? It's like amazing.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I hope
we'll see what kind of nerve I have, okay?
He played it in a very upbeat, and I'm doing it a little. Well, if you can whistle to this, it'll be interesting.
Let's see what happens.
Here we go. Thank you.
right. That sounds wonderful.
Did we say the title of that?
Living in the Country.
Living in the Country.
Living, and that was a Pete Seeger tune.
Written by Pete Seeger.
And so he was obviously a finger style picker too at times then.
Yeah.
Or most of the time.
He was great. He was a great player.
He played that on a 12 string.
Wow.
And whistled.
And whistled. Yeah, I couldn't. I didn't get. I didn't capture it quite, but it was.
I think the tempo was difficult for whistling.
It was.
It worked. You know, so you know the different styles. Like tomorrow, there's two workshops going on. One at 9:30 and one at 12:30. And so, if people want to come down there, what's the differences between the two styles that's going to be taught in a workshop down there? So, Phil, what like
kind of remains to be seen.
Okay, but I mean, what's the two different styles between you two, or is it both? Are they similar styles?
We were just talking about that. I'd say I have a little bit. I do a little bit more. Jazzier stuff, just more contemporary stuff. In Philly, you do a lot more, you do traditional stuff.
Straight ahead, sort of, well, I don't know if straight ahead is the right word, but I don't know, I hate to pigeonhole myself, but yeah, Eric has got a jazzier touch to some of his work.
But you do too, but I don't know, I wouldn't call it pigeonholing, it's just like the things, because I think we're both creative within our own likes that we've kind of like fallen upon. I mean, you know, I think it has to do with what we grew up with. You know, I have a kind of a classical background. I used to sing in choirs, used to be a first soprano and that sort of thing. And I like to listen to a lot of piano music. And then my oldest brother came home from Vietnam and I started listening to the same thing as Phil did, but I still had some of those influences. So, you know, I listened to a lot of Mississippi John Hurt and Reverend Gary Davis.
Yeah, that's where we have a lot of common ground.
That's where we have our common ground. But then it's like the education or what we listened to before that. You know, I guess I listened to maybe a little bit more classical than Phil. I was kind of in that kind of a regiment.
And Eric, you play around the world, it says here. Japan, Hungary, Germany, Italy. You've been all over the place playing your style of guitar.
Yeah, I have. I've been really incredibly lucky. It's just worked out. Sometimes I don't feel lucky if I'm coming home from 5 weeks in the road and catch pneumonia or something from someone sneezing on me. But I feel great that I've been able to travel the world without being part of like the armed services or something like that. And I've been able to educate a lot of people. And I guess where my big opportunity came was when I was teaching at the Old Town School. I taught there for 25 years. And, you know, just by baptism of fire, you know, you're in a classroom situation. You know, I was teaching four classes a week for many years and just fingerstyle guitar, which was like, gosh, what an opportunity.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, I didn't have to teach, like, not that I would have minded it. I couldn't have done it, but I didn't have to teach kid electric guitar. I just had people who were interested in learning finger picking guitar.
And now you said that was Old Town, wasn't it?
Yeah, Old Town School of Folk Music, very famous place in, it's the biggest world music venue now, actually, and I think in the world.
And it's located
in Chicago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I've had the opportunity to meet a lot of great people. I got to play with Doc Watson, met some fabulous musicians there, and had the opportunity. I think the big thing is I had the opportunity to teach people who are just specifically interested in learning how to finger pick.
Right.
And they also have a resource center there of old music that kind of rivals the Smithsonian. It's just like a huge library of stuff. So it was like, wow. And my classroom was right next to it.
Wow, that sounds wonderful.
It was really cool.
Yeah. You're from Chicago originally then?
Philadelphia
originally.
Mm-hmm. I have a question for you. I see on your website you've played or opened for like Taj Mahal, Doc Watson, John Prine, Leon Redbone, David Bromberg.
Yeah.
And as the opening act, were you by yourself doing fingerstyle, were you in different groups? Or
I got to play with Doc at the Old Town School, and I was opening acts, always opening acts for people like that. But Taj Mahal was particularly kind to me. I met him at the Philadelphia Folk Festival when I was 18 or maybe younger, and then he actually played me a song called Colored Aristocracy. He played it for me on the banjo, and then years later I did three shows with him at the Old Town School in 2001, and you know, he remembered me, and I played Colored Aristocracy, my new version of it that I learned from him on the banjo, which was really hip. You know, it was great. Got the opportunity to sit down and play with him. I did an album called Kind Heroes, which was kind of dedicated to the people who were kind enough to sit down with me as I was growing up and, you know, show me stuff like Merle Travis and Doc Watson. You know, I got to sit down and play with him. And
Merle Travis?
Merle Travis. Oh, man, it's the best story in the world. I met Merle Travis at the my fourth year as a volunteer at the Philadelphia Folk Festival. That's what you did to get your free ticket, and you used to watch the fences. And then finally, I got moved up, and I got to drive the electric golf cart and pick people up at the at the parking lot. And I didn't forget, this might have been 1978 or 79. I meet Merle Travis for the first time, and he's an old man at the time. And I felt terrible for him. He was in a seersucker suit, and it was 100 degrees. And I pick him up at the in a cornfield, basically. But the thing that was amazing, I'm there talking to my hero, which was Merle Travis, and I listened to him, and he said, "Mr. Travis, it's an honor to meet you." And then along comes his wife, and you know, when you're growing up as a kid, you hear things growing up. And have you ever heard of a blue beehive? You know what a beehive is? A beehive.
Blue, correct, yeah. Yes.
It's a southern hairdo, right?
Right, yes. Oh, okay.
But when I was 18 or 19, I had no idea what it was. And I meet Merle Travis, and then his wife shows up. "Hi, honey." And she has a blue beehive. And I'm looking at it, I'm like so taken by it. And I'm saying, "Oh my God," I'm saying to myself, "that's a blue beehive." And I'm like so distracted from it because I've never seen one in my life. And then I never knew what it was, really. And then when you see one in person, a blue beehive, then you get it. He says, "Oh, that's a blue beehive."
Uh-huh,
and this is when I first met Merle Travis. And then
and he was outdone by his wife, apparently.
He was outdone by his wife. I was just like,
that's what sticks in your brain.
Oh, yeah. The whole thing. And yeah, it was great. And Merle Travis, boy, just talk about somebody that I really admire. How many people can you think? He was a virtuoso guitarist, and he was a songwriter of just like, you know, unparalleled. He wrote "Dark as a Dungeon." He smoked that cigarette. He just
16 tons.
Mm. And then on top of being an amazing, a million hit songwriter, and then he go over and he was a virtuoso guitar player. And he really was a virtuoso, absolutely a virtuoso guitarist. He was just like a fantastic guitar player.
Is it true though that he suffered from stage fright?
He did, you know, and I heard a story when he did the album with Doc Watson. You know, he was intimidated by the jazzers like you and I are. We've talked about this. We've talked about, you know, people who can, you know, single note melodies, you know. And I would say the thing with Merle Travis is, you might say he had stage fright, but I think what he was just like an incredibly humble man. Mm-hmm. He was a very humble man.
And how long did you
Unlike
live?
Unlike me. No, he was an incredibly humble guy. He was.
And how long did he live?
Shoot, I think he probably passed away in the early, mid-80s at most.
Mm. Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you're just joining us, we're talking with Eric and Phil, who are going to be playing at the 4th Annual Fingerstyle Maskers Guitar Concert tomorrow night at Tofty at 7:30 at the Bluefin Bay Resort. And they're each going to be doing a workshop, and I believe yours, Eric, is going to be at 12:30. And Phil,
if you say so.
Yep, that's, I just made the decision, and Phil, you're being at 9:30. But maybe since we've been talking with you, maybe you'll play us a little tune there, and maybe you can tell us what you're going to play. And
okay, well, I haven't warmed up, but I'm going to play this anyway. I'm going to play an original, and this is, I wrote this, it was recorded, let's put it this way. The first time I recorded it was with a step dancer named Pauline Keneally. And if Pauline's listening to this, she's a fabulous musician. She's an Irish, she runs sessions in Chicago. She plays the banjo and she plays the flute, and she was in Riverdance as a step dancer. Mm-hmm. And then she always made sure that I understood that she was a national champion, English step dancing champion, and which was nothing like an Irish step dancing champion. Mm-hmm. She always was kind of degrading to herself or self-deprecating, but she was just absolutely fantastic. And this song I'm going to play here, this is called The Cajun Cook, and I wrote this, and I originally recorded it with step dancing for feet and guitar. So she sounded like a drum set, but she sat on a piano bench and held herself up, and there was a microphone underneath the bench, and we had a whole thing choreographed, and I'm going to play The Cajun Cook for you right now. Thank you.
Ooh. Sheesh.
Yeah.
Sheesh is right. That's a lot of finger movement.
Yeah. That was nutty.
That was beautiful. Like thank you. Said,
thank you.
Thank you.
And you use all your fingers on that, right? I mean, that's what you're saying on your hand. You pick with every single finger.
Well, in that case, that one, yes, I do. I actually borrowed some from...
borrowed some
I don't know why I started off with a song like that, but I know I just was thinking, like, why not play something original? And then I was thinking that we did something so slow in the beginning. I said, why not do something a little faster?
Yeah. Oh, it sounded great.